Travolting presents Bobbin for Robin. Hosted by Jeff Sweeney and Stuart Elmore. Recapping Robin Williams, the comedian. Enjoy the episode. I thought there would be words to this.
No.
It's the grand finale of the Popeye music from the motion picture album.
I think this is probably just
Deluxe
the end credits track.
Edition.
I bet this is probably just the end credits, like, orchestral track.
Probably.
However, quite good still.
A good vibe setter. Wouldn't you agree?
A very good vibe setter for what is the end of our
first era
of Robin.
Of Robin.
Which is kind of crazy. We're already here.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, I think, the shortest era we're going to cover for him.
Yes.
But still, it's cool that we're here.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's, I, being that this is like a very, like, I'll just say it, Stuart spearheaded season, I came up with like the breakpoints of the recaps and the eras of which we were covering. And, you know, I thought to myself, it's like Good Morning Vietnam, Adventures of Baron Munchausen, and I guess like Portrait of a White Marriage, you know, that is like the perfect like end point cap on this first era. Because prior to this, you know, Robin Williams, he's a comedian.
Yes.
Comedian first, actor second. And once Good Morning Vietnam comes out, that is where like we understand like Robin can be in movies. And he can be in movies successfully.
Yes.
The next episode we're going to cover, Dead Poets Society, which actually won't be the next episode you'll hear.
It'll be the next Robin episode.
The next Robin episode. We'll get to that later. Yeah. The next Robin episode, Dead Poets Society, that is the kickoff mark for Robin's thespian era.
Yes.
That's Robin Williams, the thespian, is the era that I'm calling the next one. Because, you know, after Dead Poets Society, that's where we go on a hot streak. Hit after hit after hit until eventually the last two ones is Good Will Hunting, What Dreams Might Come.
Yes.
And that's where he wins his Oscar, and pretty much that whole period of the thespian period is like the movies you remember Robin for.
Yeah.
You remember him for Doubtfire. You remember him for Birdcage, Jumanji,
Hook.
Aladdin, Hook, Shakes the Clown, The Fisher King.
The Birdcage.
Yeah. But so that being said, like I want to go through a quick bit of what Robin's doing, where he's at. You know, I think Dead Poets Society is released in 91? 89. And it's a perfect, it's a perfect chronological break too, because the 90s is also like known as like Robin's major heyday too.
Yeah.
Good Will Hunting is 97.
Yeah.
You know, 3 years before the new millennia. So that just goes without saying that like the 90s is Robin's like heyday period.
Yeah, the 90s is like his like it's when he's omnipresent in society.
Yeah.
And like it's something we're going to talk about very soon is the Earth Day special. Which is
it's
a movie we're going to be covering. You'll enjoy it.
Really?
Okay. But
oh, I see it on our schedule. Yeah.
But that's like something that's really going to be a major Google indicator this. For how suddenly like omnipresent Robin Williams is as a cultural object. We'll talk about it when we get to it. But this is like you said, this is the end of him being comedian first, actor second.
Yes.
He becomes like a dominant cultural figure next as an actor.
As an actor.
Who is funny and does comedy.
Yeah.
But I think people know his performance so much.
Yeah. Because once we get to Dead Poets Society, that's where it's like, yeah, he's doing his Robin improvised stream of I think... Your dad said something on the Good Morning Vietnam episode that really stuck with me. It's like people call Robin an improviser a lot, and I think that's totally wrong.
Yeah.
Robin is not an improviser. He's a stream of consciousness guy.
Yeah.
And I think that's so perfect to talk about with Robin, because he's right. improvising, as your dad said, it's like kind of like something is given to you and you figure out a way to like work it into bits and jokes and things. Whereas Robin, it's like, he will see this Popeyes cup. It's like, Popeyes. They came up with that chain after the movie, which is still available to buy on DVD. And he'll just like start going, you know. For folks in the audience, Jeff actually did bring Popeyes.
I did bring Popeyes. Over.
I think he did it intentionally, knowing that we were going to do a recap involving Popeyes. Yes. So he did it as a special occasion.
I'm glad you figured that out.
Not because he was coming at noon and hadn't had any food yet today.
That is also true. Two things can be true at the same time.
Yes. So I want to get a little bit into Robin's personal life, because it's a quick little tidbit here. As I mentioned, you know, in the Good Morning Vietnam episode, Robin and his first wife, Valerie, in 89, I think, is when they officially publicly come out with their separation. And Robin marries Marcia, his second wife. Shortly after, they give birth to Robin's second child, Zelda. Zelda, who was actually her name, at least from the book that what I could think of, came from Zach's idea. That Zach, who while he was with his mom Valerie, who's new, I don't know if it were her husband at the time, but her new partner, had a son of his own, and they would play like video games together a lot. And one of those video games was like The Adventures of Zelda.
The Legend of Zelda.
Please. The Legends of Zelda. Yeah. Sorry.
The Legend.
The Legend.
A singular legend.
One legend.
Yes.
Zelda didn't do any more than one. If you think.
Per installment, he does one legend, folks.
Is Zelda a he?
What?
The video game character. Is Zelda a he?
No, Zelda is she. Zelda's the princess.
Got it.
Link is the guy.
This always fucking confuses me about Zelda.
It's that Zelda's the legend of Link Zelda. Is just a part of it.
But like, it's the Legend of Zelda, but the titular character in those games is Link.
Yes.
So why do they call it the Legend of Link?
The titular character is Zelda. The main character is Link.
Wait a minute. But you play as Link.
Yes.
It's really interesting.
Until eventually you start playing as Sheik, who is revealed to be Zelda in disguise. So you see.
Interesting.
The Legend of Zelda, it was big for Robin. He eventually did ads for the 3DS that are really cute with Zelda.
Yeah. And so, yeah, she's born in 89, and there's a really great feature piece of Barbara Walters that I'll play in a little minute in 91. But yeah, so after The Adventures of Barry Munchausen, Portrait of a White Marriage, Robin and Marcia move to New York because that's where they're going to be doing a lot of projects together, including Dead Poets Society in New England area, Cadillac Man, which is a New York area, Awakenings, which is the same thing.
He becomes a New York guy in his thespian era.
Yeah, exactly. And it's while he's in New York, he does a play with future friend Steve Martin. They do Waiting for Godot, a play that, if I remember correctly, Robin had done before in his earlier like Juilliard college years, back when he was doing Shakespearean actor training. And the play ran for 6 weeks because Robin improvised a little bit.
Yeah.
Some people, you can imagine, weren't huge fans of that.
Yeah.
But I did just want to play this little quick clip. It's not the best quality of Steve Martin on Robin and Waiting for Godot.
Yeah.
I interrupted you.
On the contrary.
Ceremony is eight.
Punctilious pig.
Finish your phrase, I tell you.
Finish your own.
Moron. That's the idea. Let's abuse each other. Moron.
Vermin.
Abortion. Morpion. Sewer rat. Curate. Cretin. Critic!
So I just wanted to play that beat to heighten that Robin is literally in his thespian era in the sense that he's also doing plays in New York. And it won't be the last time he does plays in New York. Something that I'm going to say on this episode, because I hope that by the time we get to this part in his career, one of our listeners will be able to hunt this down. But listener, if you can find Bengal Tiger in Baghdad Zoo, it's a play that Robin did. And I want to say he did that in 2009, so 5 years before his death. And it's one of Robin's like returns to his like, again, more of like stage presence acting. Yeah. I looked this up. There is no like recording, full recording of Bengal Tiger at the Baghdad Zoo. But I have been so fascinated to watch this performance because I hear Robin is amazing in it.
Yeah, electric.
And I hear, and like, he never got nominated for a Tony, but that was mainly because of how short-lived the play actually survived on Broadway. So, listener, if you can find a way to get me a full recording of Bengal Tiger at the Baghdad Zoo so I can watch it by the time we get to that 2009 period of Robin's career, I would be super, super grateful. I think you can rent like a DVD copy at the Library of Congress.
Hell yeah, you can, brother.
So I think that's my only lead I've got up to that. Now I want to play for you another clip. But I might play, let this play for a little bit, but it's a good, segment in an interview Robin did with Barbara Walters in 1991.
Good evening. Tonight, I would like to talk to you about the serious subject of schizophrenia.
No, he doesn't. Shut up. Let him talk.
Hello.
But the big break came in 1978 with a bizarre spin-off of the hit series Happy Days. The show was called Mork and Mindy.
Mork, calling Orson.
Mork was the perfect character for Robin. Since he played an alien, he didn't have to behave like regular folks, something Robin rarely did anyway. It led to his being cast in what everyone expected to be the blockbuster of 1980, a live-action version of the comic strip Popeye.
I'm Popeye, the sailor, and I am what I am, what I am, and I am what I am, and that's all that I am, because I am what I am.
Popeye was the kind of movie that ruined great careers and marks talented people as box office poison. Fortunately, his next film, The World According to Garf, was successful enough to keep him from crashing.
That's funny. This is the plane crashing into the house.
Take the house.
Garp.
Honey, the chances of another plane hitting this house are astronomical. See, it's been pre-disastered. It'll be safe here.
Next, Robin embarked on a long list of forgettable films. Some were good, some were bad, none were blockbusters. In the middle of it all came the overdose death of Robin's friend, John Belushi. Robin had seen Belushi that night and volunteered to testify at the hearing. Robin, too, it seems, was addicted to cocaine. It took the death of his friend and the birth of his son, Zachary, now six, to clean him up for good.
You have this dream where you're doing cocaine in your sleep and you can't fall asleep, and you're doing cocaine in your sleep and you can't fall asleep, and you wake up and you're doing cocaine. Bingo.
There was still the problem of the movie career. The man, it seemed, was impossible to cast. He needed a role where he could perform as well as act. And in 1987, he got it.
Good morning, Vietnam!
Hey, Good Morning Vietnam let us see every corner of his talent and once and for all canceled his image as box office death. All of which would have been wonderful were it not for the fact that his personal life at the time was in turmoil. He was in the middle of a divorce with his ex-wife Valerie when this cover appeared in 1988. It implied that Robin had divorced his wife and run off with his son's nanny. It angers Robin to this day. So much so that even on a hot Sunday in the park, he wanted to sit down and talk of the misconceptions about his new wife, Marcia.
The basic byline was the nanny that broke up the marriage. Yeah. First of all, you know, we didn't become involved till it was a year after I'd been separated. And she only took care of Zachary for a short time, and then somebody else was taking care of him. And then she became my assistant and worked with me during, you know, started off working with me when I first became separated.
So it wasn't a romance then?
No.
Yeah. So, yeah, just, and if folks haven't already seen that interview with Barbara Walters, I highly recommend it. It's a great interview that they do. It does take place after Dead Poets Society had already been released. And so, yeah, I guess like just to get right into the weeds this era. I mean,
because it's interesting because like it's kind of just it. We every time we do one of these, we have like kind of a growth era at the beginning.
Yeah.
But this is really like truly a growth era.
Yeah.
In the sense that there's like basically if you want to talk like big picture cultural relevance, there's like two movies in here that really like endure, I'd
say.
And that would just be Good Morning Vietnam, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And then arguably Popeye or Baron Munchausen.
I'd say Popeye over Baron Munchausen.
Probably just Popeye. And Popeye like is like tangentially enduring.
Yeah, in a weird way. Because Robin kind of consists the Popeye joke. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He'll bring up Popeye a lot in his like stand-up careers. Yeah. Just like he'll also bring up Mork and Mindy in his stand-up careers. After he won the Oscar for Good Will Hunting, he would say it's, you know, the next day people were like, hey, Good Will Hunting, nice work. Hey, Good Will Hunting, nice work. And then the day after it's like, howdy, Mork, how's it going?
Yeah.
Just go right back to Mork and Mindy.
Yeah.
So I would almost say more so like, yes, Popeye and Good Morning Vietnam, those are two tangentially almost like permanent movies ingrained in his career. But Mork and Mindy, especially in this era, even though it's a TV show, I'd say is like, I mean, that is like the Hollywood introduction to Robin. Hollywood in the sense of putting him on the screen was Mork and Mindy. And so past those points, you know, Robin is escalating very well in his comic career. But it takes him a little bit longer to excel in his acting career. As I've said numerous times, like Robin was not like a surefire name that could sell a movie until after Good Morning Vietnam. So it takes a whole new language once we get past this era into Dead Poets Society onward.
Because it's all like people, every movie in this era is people taking flyers on him. It's Robin being a very successful stand-up comic and then like a TV star.
Yeah.
And everyone being like, but what if I'm the one who cracks it?
Yeah.
Who makes the right Robin vehicle?
Yeah.
And they're all just taking flyers on him. And it takes a while before one of them really works. There's something like work in this era. But I use like Club Paradise, like in theory, like he's funny in it. But it doesn't like work.
He's not the central crux of the movie that can like raise it from the dead.
Yeah. It's like not the right fit. But like they're all like ready to just like, oh, what if I'm the guy who finally figures out how to make Robin Williams a movie star? And which is why Good Morning Vietnam is like, you know, the kind of the end of this era. We're roping in white marriage.
It's
such a weird tangential thing.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to start the thespian era with portrait of white marriage.
You know, Dead Poets Society does seem like the right. Good Morning Vietnam is like the ball being thrown into the air.
Yeah.
And then Dead Poets Society is the smack into the...
The spike into the other volleyball court.
Yeah, spike into the hole.
Yeah. The hole.
I don't know why I said the hole. The basket.
The floor.
You were talking about volleyball. I'm talking basketball.
The spike?
We're talking about...
You don't spike basketballs, Jeff.
You don't dunk. You don't shoot. Fucking, you shoot. Dunk it.
Dunk it. Okay, yeah.
The layup and the dunk, all right?
There we go.
I figured it out.
Sorry. No.
I don't watch basketball. I've only seen Space Jam. Space Jam's a bad movie. Anyway, we're getting back to this.
Space Jam is just a big marketing piece.
Space Jam, like, low-key sucks. it's actually quite bad.
Okay, great.
A few funny bits. Bugs Bunny is a good friend of mine. Anyway, so back to this era. How do you want to delve into it? Because like, I feel like we've kind of like summarize what the era is.
Yeah.
And I feel like in all of our episodes of this era, we've really like, we've talked about its significance quite substantially.
Yeah.
And so like we can summarize here, but I don't think there's a lot I have to say that I haven't already said.
Right. And I was going to say, we normally do pick like, best, worst, underrated. Yeah. I think this one will be a little bit easier.
Yeah.
Cause this one has a very clear, like best one, Good Morning Vietnam, obviously.
Well, you might pick something else, wouldn't you?
No, I pick Good Morning Vietnam as the best
one. I thought you'd pick Baron Munchausen.
That was going to be like my most underrated in the sense that not enough people talk about that movie.
Yeah.
But I do love Baron Munchausen. And you know what? Maybe I would pick Baron Munchausen.
It's because Robin's not in it that much. I mean, he's in it more than you'd expect.
But if I had to pick along this list in terms of the context of a Robin Williams podcast, Good Morning Vietnam, right?
Yeah.
The worst, probably The Survivors.
Yeah, I'm looking.
Or Can I Do It Till I Need Glasses? But I don't even count.
No, the worst one's Portrait of a White Marriage.
Or the worst one is Portrait of a White Marriage. Yeah.
Or Seize the Day.
Or
the two
Seize
like
the Day.
Attempted social satires are the ones that fell flat for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Like something like A Club Paradise or The Survivors or The Best of Times. Like
they're just kind of like whatever.
Didn't succeed, but they weren't trying to be anything more than just like a comedy.
Yeah.
And like, I'm much more forgiving of that than a social satire that misses the mark.
Yeah.
Which is this problem that Seize the Day and Portrait of a White Marriage had.
I think Moscow on the Hudson is a movie that is gained by the current social relevance of it right now.
Moscow on the Hudson is a movie that like the social satire generally kind of works in that.
Yeah.
As does the comedy. Like that's not a perfect movie, but I do think like that's a movie that generally works, which is, you know, a plus for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. That's really all I have to say. One thing I did want to just like kind of cap off at the very end is like, I think the biggest thing about this era for me is the correct lessons that both Robin and filmmakers that work with Robin know.
They learned. It's not like a Travolta where he doesn't learn. They were all very smart in like course correcting his career in here.
It's kind of a very interesting opposite of John Travolta.
Yeah. Like there were some sharp turns at the very beginning. Cause it like, it goes from Popeye to Garp.
Yeah.
Back to comedy. And Seize the Day is like kind of like there's a little bit of, you know, course correction going on.
Yeah.
But eventually the ship gets righted pretty quickly.
Right. And then, you know, we talk about, you know, the beginnings era of Travolting where he's going hit after hit after hit. Grease, Saturday Night Fever, Carrie, Urban Cowboy, Blowout, heck, even like Perfect. Like all these things that work very well for him. But then once we get to the 80s of Travolta, that's where we see like he's learned
shit hits the fan.
He learns all the wrong lessons and he's kind of in that like forever rut period. Robin's 80s is a learning tool for him. But then by like the 90s, he's like,
he figures it out.
Capped off. He's figured it out. And that's where like, well, Deadpool Society will be a big part of that conversation about the right lessons people have learned working with Robin, that it's a very serious role, but they let him be Robin.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk more about that. But that's just something I wanted to say, that like Barry Levinson really figures out that finer tuning of like how to like, you know, work up to Robin standards that make it work for the movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's really all I have to say about this recap episode. These recap episodes have generally always been a little short.
Yeah, because it's just us, you know, kind of getting over. It gives us an opportunity to, like, hype up our favorites or whatnot. But like you said, this is kind of a straightforward era. Like, Good Morning Vietnam is my favorite.
Yeah.
I said what my least favorite was. Like, I do think that just, this is just a really cool era to get to jump in on.
Yeah, it is.
Like, it's really nice to jump in on Robin and just see him learn the right lessons and then get to this point where you kind of get to see him explode like a rocket, like take off into the stratosphere.
Yeah.
Like the Good Morning Vietnam, Bunchausen, Dead Poets Run onward. Like, there's even like, we're going to cover some bad movies that I don't like. We're going to cover some movies that I'm sure I won't like. But like every couple of movies, there's like a classic.
Yeah.
That we're like, yeah, this goes.
Yeah. And then like era three, I call the old dog era.
Yeah. We'll talk about that when we get to it.
But yeah. Can you believe that we have episodes scheduled all the way out to be released by?
Yeah, we're scheduled to end Robin July 22nd of 2026.
Fuck.
Yeah, we're cooking. We're good.
Fuck.
We're set.
We're so good.
We're set.
All right.
Well.
Yeah, that's all I have to say too. Thank you all so much for listening. Thank you for joining us this far on Travolting Presents Bobbin for Robin First Era. The comedian.
Yeah.
Join us next week for Not Dead Poets Society.
Because folks, as is tradition on this podcast.
Sorry. Let me get the backing track.
I thought you were gonna pull up the trailer.
No. Hold on. Okay, go.
Okay. Oh my god. As is tradition on Travolting. President's Bobbin for Robin. Whenever one of our former subjects releases a new movie, we are obligated.
We are shackled
to covering it.
Tied to the noose.
And folks, John Travolta is at it again. with some bullshit that he's dropping on straight to Redbox, straight to streaming, with the motion picture High Rollers, which is a sequel to Cash Out.
Hello.
Hello, Mason.
Salzar.
Your reputation as an international fugitive is very well earned.
Now let me guess. You want us to do a job. What if I told you no?
Whoa.
I tell you, you will never see Decker again.
You got guns? Let's go!
Go, go!
By the trailer alone, it like looks like they shot this at three locations. A beach, a food storage place, and an airplane.
Yeah, they shot for $3. Probably Travolta's own airplane. We shouldn't. This is good material. We can get into
you're right,
next
you're right,
week.
You're right. All right. I stopped.
My favorite thing is just like, I'll just text Stuart at like 2 p.m. on a random Tuesday and be like, Stuart. And just with a link to like some Collider article, exclusive trailer for High Rollers. And you will send me a look of disgust.
I'll be like, why?
Yeah.
Why have we
but
tied
anyway,
ourselves?
Next week,
we're going to go back to Travolta.
We're going back for Travolta.
For his 2025 movie.
High Rollers. Then the week after that, we'll be back with Bobbin for Robin for the beginning of the second era, which is Dead Poets Society.
Oh, Captain, my Captain.
Yeah, oh, Captain, my Captain. A movie I'm very much looking forward to talking about with a very fun guest.
Very fun guest.
And it'll be really nice to dig into the next era of Robin and see how he takes these lessons that he's learned from this era, the comedian era, and transplants them into his future decisions.
Yes.
As an artist and an actor.
Yeah. So if you like this episode, please don't forget to like, comment, share, subscribe. There is no movie called Robin Williams, the Comedian. So you could not have clicked on this when you're watching a movie. I don't got to give that disclaimer. Thank you again to Becca for the graphic design and Michael Van Bodegem Smith for the theme song.
Yes.
Taking you out. And join us next week for when we travel back to Travolta for his 2025 film,
High Rollers.
High Rollers. See you then.